Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
So, what are you doing there in North Carolina, Dr. Jordan?
I guess the question would be, what am I not doing?
Okay.
A little bit of everything.
That's good. That's called doing the most. Doing the most.
So
maximize.
Yes, I will start off with a brief intro of what I do. And I had to take notes because sometimes I forget what I do.
Girl, I know. So let me introduce you, brains. You are here at home on the edge with April Mahoney and Dr. Linda Jordan. She's in North Carolina. I'm in San Diego. And we are about to bring you up on everything that is fantastic, smart, heady. She is an amazing, amazing woman. She has so many accolades. You know, again, like I said, she got that DR in front of her name, so you know she's well educated. She works at Cornell University, very prestigious university. She's an investor in real estate. I'll talk to her a little bit about that. We're going to talk to her about diversity, inclusion. Wait a minute. Is DEI, I forget the acronym. Is diversity, equity, inclusion. And I want to go into the pronouns. I want to talk to you a little bit. How you going to get down with the pronoun. People aren't hip to that yet. That's a very heady conversation. But also, she is a survivor of breast cancer. So she is a breast cancer thriver. Talk to her a little bit about that and more. Let's welcome her to the edge right here, brains, Dr. Linda Jordan.
Thank you, April. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely beautiful. So dial back and tell us, you know, color in the white spaces.
All right. So as you said, I am a, yes, breast cancer survivor, but most importantly, I am a wife and mother. I have a 27-year-old daughter. My husband, I've been married for 29 years.
Hey. I've been married 37, girl, so I got a whoop, 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 whoop.
I worked in corporate America for 27 and a half years until, as I tell everyone, I was blessed with breast cancer.
Mm.
Why do I say that? Because, you know, had I not been diagnosed, I would probably still be trying to get that 30 years because that's what we all were looking for, that 30 years in corporate and retire. And, you know, that's what my mantra was. But I quickly realized that the Lord had another plan for me. And so I didn't hesitate. I raised my hand and I said, you know, now is the time. And so I took early retirement and pursued my first passion, which was real estate investing. And then my second, which was leadership coaching. And so I have a dual business of what I do. My husband is also in construction, so it's a nice marry between the two. I buy houses and then he fixes them up.
I know.
So that works out well. In my spare time, yes, I do. I'm a course facilitator for Cornell University. I've been working with them since 2018. Started off as a contractor and then was hired as a part-time facilitator in 2020. So I work on two certification programs. The first is Women in Business, and the second is Diversity and Inclusion. I also am an elected official. So when you talk about politics.
You in the politics?
I am a city councilwoman for the town that I live in.
Bravo.
Yes, I've been doing that since 2007, and I also serve on our water board, so it's called South Bramble Water and Sewer Authority. I've been doing that for several years, and most importantly, I am a certified coach, trainer, speaker with the John Maxwell team, and I'm an author, and I think that covers everything.
It never covers enough. Well, you know what? I was going to run for a city council, but I'm a firecracker. You know, and I may really pop off. I'm very, I'm a good listener. I'm a fantastic negotiator. but I am a person that lives in their truth. And so sometimes my version or my perception of the truth might overrule my better judgment. So I said, no, I won't do it. I'll support, I'll write checks, I'll campaign, I'll put them on a podcast, I'll do that, but I'm not going to run for office. So we're going to get to the breast cancer in a minute. But what I want to talk to you a little bit about first is your work in academia. Being a certified coach with John Maxwell is great. You know,
thank you.
You've learned a lot. You've learned how to really help mentor and mold individuals. So you take that with you into the classroom. Now, women in business.
Yes.
That could be a whole nother show.
Oh, absolutely.
Because women are in business, and the paradigm has shifted. It really has. I don't like to see women try to take on a masculine role. I love to see a strong feminine woman in business that can bring in her negotiation skills, her tenderness, her ability to, you know, learn, and compassion. And that's not to say that men don't do that, but really men go in and go directly for the jugular. What are you teaching these young women in business really about what it looks like to be in a corporate environment in 2021?
So, so this particular program basically teaches women to not necessarily in the corporate space, but how do they start their own business and become an entrepreneur? There's been a paradigm shift, as you said, where nowadays it's the stay-home dad and the mom is in the workplace. What we found in 2020 was that, you know, with changes and people being laid off, a lot of women were starting their own businesses. This particular program is specifically for women in business throughout the entire world, just not the U.S. So our population base is a wide variety. Predominantly, though, more minority women. And so one of the struggles they have is knowing how to start a business. What are the intricacies of getting that business going? You know, how do they find funding? How do they get the business set up? All those nuances that go into starting a business. And even if they already have a business going, they have some hurdles that they're trying to get through. So how do they do that? You know, who do they need for an attorney? Do they need an attorney? Do they need patents? All those types of things that go into those lessons around a woman in business.
Accounting and paying your taxes and closing the deal, yes. Making the ask and marketing. Oh my goodness, I told you, this is a whole nother show.
Yes, the list goes on and on and on. And, you know, how do they market? Who do they market to?
Right.
You know, they have this great idea, but they're not sure what to do with it.
And, you know, I tell people all the time, being a W-2 employee is not all that bad sometimes, you know, so you have to find value. But when you are there at an organization, don't just sit there like, you know, a bump on a log. Get to know the intricacies of the individuals, have some informational interviews, maybe ask for some cross training so that you can take these skills if you are wanting to be an entrepreneur with you when you clean out your desk.
Exactly. You know, when I was in corporate, I always told my staff, you have a backup for the backup for the backup. Mm-hmm. And they always say, you know, Linda, why you have all these plan A, B, C, and D? I said, because you never know when today may be your last day of work and you're 9 to 5. So you just can't count on the company you're sending that check every week or every 2 weeks. You need to have a plan B. So I had my plan A, B, C, and D.
I do.
Yeah.
But then you had a backer. You had a backer for what, 29 years? I had a backer for 37. Makes it a little easier when you have someone in that space that supports you, but also lets you be the woman that you are and is not intimidated by that.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's a struggle because sometimes you have those dynamics where everybody's not comfortable with who's the breadwinner.
Right, right. Well, as long as we got some bread, that's all I want, you know? I told him I sleep in the fucking grass with you, baby, but I need some bread. So let's talk about this big, I shouldn't say nuance because it's not new, but it's pop culture. Everyone's talking about the pronoun. okay? And I never get it right. He, his, what is it? I never get it right.
She, her, and hers. He, his,
wait, 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 wait. I got to write that down. Okay, she, her, and hers.
He, his, and him.
Okay, he, his,
and him. Them.
And them, they, and we?
Them, they, and we.
Okay, them, they, and we. Braze, this is the conversation that you really need to pay attention to, because this is big in diversity and inclusion. Once upon a time, we was talking about women's rights. Once upon a time, we was talking about minorities. But now we're talking about your pronoun. Okay, we were talking about gays. And this is not a gay or lesbian community gender type of thing. This is how you want to be addressed and respected and acknowledged. But I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I got to figure out which pronouns I'm going to be. I'm going to break it all up. I'm just going to be, I'm going to be we. I'm just going to be we. I'm just going to support everybody. But why is that so significant? First question. Second question, this can really cause a kerfuffle if you don't follow the rules and acknowledge people the way they want to be acknowledged in the workplace now.
Yes. It's kind of interesting how it just, it sort of popped up just like, critical race theory. That just popped out of nowhere. But that's for another conversation. But I think today, you know, society has changed and people want to be heard. They want to be seen for the value that they bring, and they want to be recognized the way that they want to be recognized. And I'm not sure how the whole thing started, but, you know, I just started noticing it and then trying to address people correctly. But I believe it is one of those things, like you talked about before, how we've gone through different challenges or changes or different things that have popped up through our time period in society. This is something new that people are very, very close to. And if we don't address them correctly, they become offended. And that's where you get into that piece around belonging and being included in the D&I space. People want to be included, they want to be heard, but they want to be, most importantly, recognized for whatever pronoun that they want to be associated with.
Well, you know, let me give you a quick example. Do you remember back in the day when there was a mister?
Mister,
and there was a miss or a missus. And then all of a sudden somebody came up with Ms.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very revolutionary. That was very groundbreaking because, again, if I introduce myself as Ms. Mahoney, you don't know whether I'm married or not.
Right.
Okay, but where this has really been confusing for me, and I'm trying to get my head around it, is not the disrespect thing. Yeah, it is. But, you know, how do I, you know, so hi, Dr. Linda Jordan. You know, are you she? Are you her? Are we? I don't really know the proper way to even introduce that. It's going to be hell writing a corporate memo.
Oh, yes, exactly.
And really, if a person does not, I think, forthright tell you how they want to be acknowledged, how are you going to automatically assume?
And that's the key word. We now have to reverse and not assume. First thing we do is always ask, how would you like to be addressed? Now, that's not a common standard practice in normal communication, but that is something that we need to start doing because, you know, with gender changes, you may assume someone is one gender and they're not.
Right.
Maybe they haven't fully transitioned and they, you know, they may feel like you're disrespecting them if you don't address them properly, even in the miss or misses. But when it comes to the pronouns, we really have to be careful. And it's a dance that we all have to do until it's sort of, you know, come to some commonality.
It's a lot. I mean, that's nine different things that you can choose from. I think, too, that it is really in this age, I'll call it pulp culture, where the millennials or younger generations, younger than maybe you and I,
yes,
are non-binary. They don't want to be considered as male or female.
Right.
I don't know how that works for you when you go to pee, but you know, you gotta fall somewhere in there. And people will go from a flicker to a flame. It doesn't take much. And okay. I'll call you, you know, I asked you, how would you like to be acknowledged even before we started this interview?
Yes, you did.
And you said, okay, you know, I am Dr. Linda Jordan. However, you can call me in the interview, Linda. Okay, so that clears the air. But do I have to do that with each individual that I come encounter with? If you don't want to get your eyes scratched out, you might.
You might have to, because people take offense to that very quickly. Very quickly. And it's just, it's become a ripple effect with so many things that happened in 2020, you know, with the George Floyd situation and COVID, people all trapped up in the house. And now people are coming out and they're coming up with new stuff. And we've got to adapt very quickly.
And, you know, I find that in the Black culture that it really annoys me that we have changed from, you know, Africans to Negroes to niggas to African-American. We have still not solidified our identity, you know, in the world today. So much less that you have to add an extra layer of right. protection with your pronoun and mm-hmm. don't assume anything. So brains, err on the side of caution. Yes, just ask and do not assume. Right. Diversity and inclusion is so important now, again, too, because a lot of transgender individuals have really come to the forefront. I know I have a member of my family that's in the military and has had, you know, has had challenges with that, with a person that was transitioning. Mm-hmm. He said, you know what? You can't come to work in booty shorts. I don't care how cute you are. When you work, you are in the military uniform. You ain't here to catch. You here to work. And so, you know, you have to tread very lightly, but people have to understand and they have to be patient with us that this is not, quote unquote, the norm, right. whatever that is. So on the other side of that, they're quickly wanting us to fall into this, you know, fall in line, assimilate, you know, acculturate, or you will assassinate. You know, they want us, yeah, they want us to fall in line, but you don't give me breathing room. You don't give me time to adjust.
Right.
Wow.
That's one of the main problems is people haven't, like you said, it's just from a flicker to a flame and you've got to figure it out really quickly.
You do. And it opens up Pandora's box for discrimination lawsuits. Oh, well, you know, they didn't address me by my pronoun. You know, I don't know. Yeah, and I'm not making light of it because if I'm going to be on the edge and heady, I better get my pronouns together too and figure out who it is I want to be. So as you've grown and developed, you moved into this real estate space. How did you find real estate, or how did real estate find you?
Well, you know, real estate found me, and real estate found me through my neighbor, who was an elderly lady that didn't have a lot of family and no one that lived close by, and she was not healthy. And so my husband and I kind of adopted her as our grandmother, and she asked us to help her during her time of need. And one of the things she needed help with was she didn't want to go into a living facility. So long story short, she asked us to buy the property and she would rent from us so she wouldn't have to be put in an assisted living. So we said yes. Didn't know what the heck we were doing. We only bought our house. So we were like, we'll figure it out. Maybe it's the same, slightly different though. But that's how I started in getting into real estate investing by helping my neighbor out. And, you know, 35 properties later, I'm
yes. Look at you. Well, I want to do it. I really do. But Mr. Magnificent is like, no, baby, because he watches those shows on the weekend religiously. Yes. I told him, I said, you know what? I said, when you retire here in a couple years, I said, why don't you just become an inspector? He's got an eagle eye. I said, go in and inspect the property. Because what people don't realize is they get so hyped up. You know, you're watching television at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and you get the note, you see the number flash on the screen, 1-800-BALLROOM, and we can teach you how to flip these properties and you'll become a millionaire, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's some trickery there, brains, because you got to know what you're doing. You got to be able to have some residual income to go in and make the repairs when you find that you need a roof and you didn't think you needed a roof, when you need a floor, when you got to get it exterminated, all of those type of things. What are some of the quirkiest things that you've run into investing in property?
The quirkiest I have run into, and it's tops, and I've been doing real estate, you know, part time for several years, but now, you know, the quirkiest thing I've run into is a home that the kitchen floor was sinking. And when I mean sinking, I mean totally sinking. The cabinet where the island was hanging on by a thread. And the lady had a little doggy on the doggy door, and he had to walk around the edge of the house to get to the doggy door. But it was literally sinking so bad that she had moved her bedroom to the front room because she couldn't get in. And yeah, that was the worst. The second one was I had a seller who, due to unforeseen circumstances, spouse passed away, and she just woke up that morning and said, I can't be here anymore, and left everything. And I mean everything. Those are the two dramatics that I've seen in my entire career.
Yeah, one of my friends purchased a property and come on, let's go check it out. And it was hoarders that had lived there. And baby, I told
Ooh.
him, look, can you not close on this deal? Just give them their money back. Because I, you know, again, going through all of that stuff, and there was feces and there was animals and there was still tags on clothes. And I know that that was a mental condition for the person that lived there before, but it ended up being a mental and a financial condition for the person that purchased the property. So know what you're doing, brains. Get with a qualified expert. Again, you know, Linda's husband is in construction, so he knows what to look for, but you got to be careful. You can't just go for the okey doke and just go to these seminars and think that you are going to, you know, abracadabra be the next, you know, multimillionaire real estate investor like Dr. Jordan. Everybody doesn't have that skill and expertise. You do some Facebook Lives where you interview great guests. Tell us a little bit about that.
So yes, I interview predominantly women, but I'll do men as well. But I interview entrepreneurs, business owners, people in corporate. I want to get a real perspective for my audience so people know, number one, if you're in corporate and you have a passion, the object is to hear how someone else has gone through those challenges and the shift that they made, or if they were let go from corporate, they had to transition and figure out what do I do next? Or if someone has been a business owner for several years, what are those challenges that they go through? So I want my audience to have that idea because you're right. You just can't flip a switch and all of a sudden I'm a multimillionaire in real estate. It doesn't work that way. I mean, there are a lot of things you have to do in all aspects of whether it's starting a business, staying in business, or working in corporate, or starting something after corporate. Or if you've decided to retire and you're like, what do I do next? What is your passion? What is your why? There's a process for all of that. So I want my audience to have a taste of all of those, you know, different opportunities so that they can have an idea of what they want to do next and how they can do it.
Well, that leads into your leadership program. Tell us about that.
So yeah, so my leadership program is called Illuminate Your Potential, and it's around helping individuals first and foremost removing those barriers or obstacles that's holding them back from being successful or holding them back for doing what it is that they really want to do. And then helping them to illuminate their potential once they've gotten there. Because just because you've been successful doesn't mean you will always be successful. You've
Right,
got to be able
right.
to stay that way. You got to stay the course. And so that's what my program is about, to help them get started, get rid of what I call it, get that monkey off your back. And then let's get you going, and then let's keep you on that course.
You know, staying on that course, because what happens, brains, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. As I say all the time, you can end up entrepreneur. You know, and it's not a cute look.
No.
Because being an entrepreneur is one of the hardest jobs you will ever have.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I did a vetting conversation with this nice man on the phone. Oh, yeah, you know, I want to be an entrepreneur because I want my freedom. I don't want anybody to tell me what I've got to do. I don't want to have to deal with no bosses. I want to come and go as I please. And I'm saying, flashing light, lazy, 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 lazy. Because that is not what an entrepreneur does. An entrepreneur is on the grind 24/7. You are introducing yourself. You're getting people to buy into your conversation. You're selling to value. You're closing on the deal. you're paying your suppliers and your vendors, you're building relationships, and then you're starting that cycle all over again. And your clients are your boss, okay? And you can't just come and go as you please. Trust me, I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning talking to people all over the world when I could be snuggled up next to Mr. Magnificent sleeping, but I'm on the grind, I'm doing my business. And always forecasting, asking yourself, how can it get any better than this? What else is possible? Because you want to grow your business. You don't want to stay stagnant. If you're a real estate investor and you got two properties, come on. You know, you've got to continue to do that. If you are an entrepreneur and you've never worked with anybody or collaborated with anybody, because it is a collaboration, mm-hmm. you can't just do it all by yourself. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm networking 24/7. You know, I have meetings at 8 o'clock in the morning. There's one networking group, and then there's some like at 10. I had one today at 10 this morning on a Friday. But wherever they are, that's where I have to be, because you're right. I am my own business card.
That's right. And we are looking to build emotional intelligence and relationship capital. That's where it is. It's not the dollars and cents, because if you get all that together, the money's got nowhere to go but to flow into your pockets. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the piece that people that get into being an entrepreneur, they don't seem to understand. You can't just sit back and wait for something to happen. You can't just hire someone and expect them to just, oh, make magic. You hire someone, you are the trainer. That's you right. are the accountant. You're the bookkeeper. You're the marketer. You're the IT person.
You're the overseer.
You are everything.
And you're the one that they're going to come to when things don't work out. But right. you are also going to be rewarded and recognized, you know, when other people are talking about you. Because it's not when you're talking about you. It's when other people are talking about you that the value really rings. So I want to talk to you a little bit about your books. Absolutely. Yeah. So let me see what you got in print there. You've got one coming out, but you already have one that's on Amazon.
Yes. So this is my book called The Voice of Hope.
And it's Untold Stories for Caregivers.
Yeah. So I had a speaking engagement last night with AARP of North Carolina.
Oh, I love AARP, girl. I can use my card now.
Yes, I was talking to caregivers about, you know, the importance of them taking care of themselves. Yes. Oftentimes we as caregivers are so focused on the patient or the person or the friend or whoever the loved one we're caring for. And we forget about ourselves. You know, we've got to work out. We've got to eat healthy, because if we're not healthy, then we can't take care of that person.
Well, I was a caregiver for my mother. She just passed away about 6 months ago.
Oh, so sorry.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry too. But I'm not broken. And I say that because it was a beautiful rite of passage. My mother lived to be 91. She was here with me till her last breath. But baby, let me tell you, and I'm going to keep it 100, caregiving was no joke. Mm-hmm. There was times I was frustrated. There was times I was scared. There was times I just didn't want to do it. You know, there was times I was overwhelmed doing it. There's a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. But the joy of knowing that my mother died with dignity and respect, you know, that she wasn't this particular patient in room 402 that we just cleaned up 20 minutes ago and they got to wait to the next shift. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this person has been ringing the bell for 4 or 5 hours, you know, and can't get any care. And then COVID has added an extra layer of confusion to the whole, you know, lexicon of the conversation of caregiving. So it's a lot going on. So caregivers, I say that to you, get a copy of that book, take a listen. Just, it's a nice gentle read, you know, when your patient is asleep, just go through it, but take care of yourself. Have a support group, be honest with your emotions. You know, I told mama, I said, you know, Mama, I know you going through this, but I ain't feeling you right now. Can you go and take your nap? And we'll revisit this when we come back. And she was okay, but she was so grateful. She was so grateful. And she tried to do a lot of things for herself independently that I knew that she couldn't do. But, you know, you're lifting people and you're turning them and you're cleaning incontinence and you're feeding them. all of this kind of stuff, you have to do those things for yourself as well. So thank you for writing that book. Tell us what's in the pages of your second book.
So the second book is called Life Boost. It talks about strategies to boost your life, your health, and your wealth.
Life Boost. Okay. That's not something you put in your juice and... That is good. Are there some exercises in there for us to challenge ourselves?
I believe there are some few exercises. I won't tell you what they are, but yeah, a few in there.
That's good. Well, you have boosted and thrived and overcome cancer.
Yes.
What was your feeling when you were diagnosed? What was your awakening?
You know, I got the call. I was in the office. I went to the doctor's office. They said, you know, you have cancer. And I was driving home because I definitely wasn't going back into the office. I was just thinking, you know, why me? I mean, at the time I was, you know, well endowed at the top. And for some reason, I always was thinking that, you know, what I saw a lot of the times, women that had breast cancer were small chested. And I thought, clearly it won't happen to me because I got more than I need. And I was just thinking, you know, why did I do something wrong? Did I not eat correctly? Was I not working out enough? I was processing all of the, you know, what I was told, but I was also kind of blaming myself like I had done something wrong. And it wasn't until I went and had the hereditary test done. I didn't do the BRCA. I did hereditary because colon cancer runs in my family. And once I had that test done, which was after I had the surgery, I felt so much better because it wasn't what I was doing wrong. It was something that was going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know anything about a hereditary test. All I've ever heard for breast cancer is the BRCA test because of the BRCA gene. But what I learned in doing research and talking to the physicians and the scientists was that somehow or another, breast cancer has sort of taken a different direction. And it's now I was diagnosed with what's called a gene BARD1. So it's not the BRCA gene, but it's a BARD1 gene that has components of other parts of the body that get cancer, such as colon. I didn't know that. So had I not gotten that genetic test done, I'd have been still thinking that I didn't do something right. And it is unfortunate sometimes we as women, we first thing we want to do is blame ourselves. We didn't do something right. We didn't work out.
We're looking for an answer before asking the question.
Absolutely. And that's what I was doing.
Let me ask a question though. Were you diagnosed just by a routine mammogram examination or you found it yourself?
It was a routine, my normal routine exam I get in the fall of every year. And it was a week before Thanksgiving and, you know, it took them a little bit of time to come back to me because normally they real quick, okay, you can get dressed and go. And they were like, we need you to hang on just for a few moments. And I took that sigh and I thought, this does not sound good. They put you in this little room and there's a Bible there. So I'm like, okay, you already told me. So I'm a woman of faith though, but I already knew that's what you told me. There's a Bible, put my hand up, said my prayer. And I'm like, it's all taken care of. It's all taken care of. I had no fear. Went into surgery, the doctor says, well, what do you want done? First thing I asked my physician was, if this were you, what would you do?
Right. What would you do for your wife or your mother?
Right. And they said, I would do a double. And I said, okay, sign me up. So that's what I did. I did a double mastectomy. And of course, I wanted to be flat chested because I had boobs all my life. My husband says, no, you got to have something. So I did what's called a lap band surgery. My daughter was born old-fashioned cesarean. So I got a two-for-one special, got rid of some belly fat, and they gave me some new girlfriends up here.
When you looked at yourself and they took off the bandages, what did you say?
Thank you, Jesus. I felt like myself again. I didn't feel that I had done anything wrong. I was praising the doctors for the miracle that they had done and how they had reshaped my body and make me look like a woman again, because I wasn't sure what to expect. But I felt really good. Yeah. And the weird thing was I was in surgery for 11 hours. I had no pain whatsoever. They kept trying to give me pain meds. I said, I'm good. They were like, well, you need a little. I'm like, no, 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 no. Came home and they sent me with pain meds. I said, you know, I don't have any pain. I don't know why, but I had no pain. And I was cut, you know, from under armpit to armpit. And then I also had I had 150 staples from hip bone to hip bone because of the the reconstruction. I had no pain. And that was nothing but God.
Wow, that ain't nothing but God.
Nothing but.
So what would you tell a 25-year-old Linda Jordan? After all you've experienced now, if you could go back and rewrite the script, what would you tell her?
You know, that's an interesting question. Probably the main thing I would tell her is to go for what you know and don't let anybody tell you that you can't do anything. That's what I would tell her. Because I took a couple of steps back to go forward because I was listening to negative Nancy on the side of my shoulder when, you know, I should have been listening to what God truly wanted me to do and be in life. I was second guessing myself. So that's what I would tell that 21-year-old Linda. Just go for it. Don't second guess yourself. You got it.
What do you want to be your legacy out of all the accomplishments that you've had, your education, your business, your networking? What do you want to be your legacy?
I want my legacy to be that any individual who has breath knows that whatever it is that you want to do, it's so possible. But whatever you decide to do, make sure that you bring someone along with you. Don't leave anybody behind. Help your fellow man, help your neighbor, but don't leave anybody behind because you can have all the greatness in the world, all the money in the world, the big houses, fancy cars, you can have all of that. But if you have not helped someone each day of your life, it's not worth it.
That's right. You got to give a hand up and a hand out.
Absolutely.
And you got to put those hands together and applaud yourself because, again, it is about, you know, acknowledging who you are and being happy about what you are and looking in the mirror. What brings you joy?
Oh, wow. What brings me joy is what my why is. And that's when my daughter and I have a daily conversation. That brings me joy that she is happy doing what she loves most and not having a care in the world to worry about. That's what brings me joy. That's what gets me up every single day. That what keeps me going to strive for more, to learn more, to buy more houses, to help more people, because I want her to see this is what my mom's doing. And I know I can do it too. That's what I really want. And that's what brings me joy when she can follow in my footsteps. But most importantly, having that conversation with her every day to say that I love you, because tomorrow's not promised.
No, girl, tomorrow, 15 minutes from now, really. You know, people are really trying to, you know, cast a wide net and they pull up some sardines.
Where you're at.
You know, and you have to be careful with that. You can't overestimate or overguesstimate. You have to count each moment joy.
Each moment, yes. Every second right now.
Right now, because it's a cold piece out there. So let me hear a little bit about you on the city council. Now, you know what? I compare that. Or I parallel that to being like a juror. And no, really, when I got jury duty, I was never called. I was so disappointed. I was never called. I said, well, maybe I'm too opinionated or this or that. Well, right. I got my chance. Long story short, I'm in there with these individuals, 12 people, but it was so interesting. 12 different, you know, ages, walks of life, ethnicities, you know, eating habits, all this. And you have to come to one conclusion. Mm-hmm. And it has to be for the good of everyone.
Absolutely.
And I found that it was so fascinating. So how does that work when you are not just speaking for Linda Jordan, but your constituents, the people in your district? You know, you got good, bad, ugly, you got all the stuff going on with the school boards. Do we get the vaccine? How is that negotiation? Girl, is that a trip that's worth the gas? Really?
It is. I am a part of a exceptional board in our area, and we all agree to disagree because everybody's not going to agree on everything. But what we look at as a board is that the decision that we make, is it the best decision for the citizens in which we serve? And we are very uncommon in our area because a lot of boards don't always agree because they have got to have a meeting after the meeting and after the meeting. Mm-hmm. But we, in my area, we've agreed that we want to make sure we make the best decisions for our citizens. We talk about it. We hash out the pros and cons. And we come to the best agreement. Now, sometimes it may not be what I want, but it's not about me. It's right. not about us individually. Yes, I am a product of the community that I live in, and I'm impacted by those decisions, but that's just me. What it's more about the larger body of our community. And that's where we focus and spend all of our time because we want to make sure we are providing the best service to our citizens so that everyone feels included and have a seat at the table.
Well, that's beautiful because that's a lot of work.
It's
especially
a lot of work.
Hearing from your constituents, what their concerns are, extracting yourself, again, because it's not about you.
Right.
But trying to weigh that and then taking that to a room full. How many people are on your board?
So with the mayor, there are 7.
Yeah. See, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
But he's a tiebreaker or she's a tiebreaker. And right. So that's good. And that's where the buck stops. The buck has stopped here on the edge. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. They can learn from you. Brains, that's what I bring these guests here for, is a learning opportunity, is to level you up. If it's emotionally, if it's spiritually, it's financially, if it's just a good joke or a good recipe, I'm here to take you, you know, on a journey. And so, you know, Dr. Linda Jordan is there. You can tell she's like super smart, but she's super cool. You know, and she's real. She's authentic. She's been there. She's done that. So she's willing to take us on the ride with us, with her. So tell me a little bit. Tell them how to get in contact with you.
Sure. So everyone can go to my website, which is Linda Jordan, JRRJORDON. I'm no relation to Michael Jordan. So LindaJordan.com, or they can send me an email at Linda@LRJ-consulting.com. Or they can go to another website I have where it's about real estate. If you want to learn a little bit about that, go to talkwithcoachlinda.com.
Well, if I accidentally anywhere in the interview called you Jordan, which I don't think so, but Jordan.
I don't believe you did.
Okay, well, you better get that name right, okay? Thank you so much for being here on the edge with me and my brains. Brains, I need you to love, like, share, leave a comment. You know, what we deliver to you as orators, communicators, video blogs, interviewers, is what we think that you need. If there's something more that you need, you have to communicate with us. You got to let us know. And we will seek it out and we will do our very best to get it your way. Thank you so much, beautiful.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Brains, do your due diligence. The doctor's watching.